This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Our man Jake Gaden from CBS 13 joining us here. Big night over on CBS with the tournament getting back underway. We'll talk about that. And who'll be joining you coming up here in just a couple of minutes is Jake's got his Yankees jersey on. He's excited for opening day. Everybody's geared up for the return of baseball. Some of us are geared up for the return of the Sacramento Kings' final game of the homestand tonight here. The 7-game homestand, Jake, that every Kings fan had been looking at for the last couple of months comes to a conclusion tonight. And it sounds like, from the way we were talking during the commercial break, maybe you don't have a ton of confidence in them heading into tonight's game.
The vibes aren't, like, we talked about this earlier in the week, like, you know, Zach LaVine saying the vibes aren't good, people aren't happy, and then Doug turns it around and says, like, hey, you know, when you're upset when you don't win. But, like, vibes aren't right. Like, people are jumping ship. Like, look at it. Like, starts with Mike Brown, you know, getting fired at the beginning of the season. Then Luke Laux leaves middle of the season to take a job at FSU. And then Wes Wilcox, who has his hands on all this mess of what we had this season, takes the job with Utah. And, like, I was talking with a couple assistant coaches prior to the game against OKC. And I was like, guys, are you surprised at all? And they're like, nope, this is the NBA. And I was like, what are the vibes? It's just, they're like, we don't know what to expect. Like, this season has been so many different twists and turns and roller coaster rides. Like, we don't know what's next. So, like, for me, I'm not riding this roller coaster of everything's going to be, you know, sunshines and rainbows and everything like that for the next couple of weeks. Right now, you know, it's a one game at a time type of situation. Yeah. And honestly, I'm hoping that they can figure this thing out over the next couple of days, especially on this road trip right now, because otherwise you're fighting for the 9 and 10 seed against a Dallas team that's limping into the playoffs and a Suns team that should not be playing well right now, but for some reason they are. You know, you want to have some hope for this season, but you know, everything that they've had done this year has been lackluster. And could they have another, you know, win streak in them? Sure. Right. You know, could they go 7-3 in the last 10 games of the season? Yeah, that's a possibility. But right now, from what I've seen from the team, the body language, how everyone's been acting around the Golden One Center, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in what's going to happen for the rest of the season. I could see this completely falling apart and getting off the rails in the next 10 days. But, you know, that's why they have to play the basketball game to prove that that could happen or that won't happen.
What a bummer Jake Gaden turned out to be.
Yeah. I used to be high on the list. I used to be, like, the biggest Beam team believer, and I was, like, you know, high hopes for everything. But, like, this team ain't getting out of the ninth seed. This team is not going to be, you know, even if they win that first game, they ain't going on the road and being the team and getting in. And what's your reward? Oh, yeah, you get to get swept from the OKC Thunder? Like, don't sign me up for that. I have no interest in seeing that. I don't care if OKC's never been playoff tested. That team is good. And just because they played well in the third quarter against them a couple nights ago still doesn't give me any hope because they still won by 20. And yes, Malik Monk wasn't playing, but is that really the guy you're gonna, you know, hold your hat on saying this is the guy that's gonna make this a big time thing? Like, I don't know. I'm not a beam team believer right now.
That's perfectly fair. I mean, they haven't in the last four games, definitely haven't given people much to believe in. But one of the things that we say on here often that I still think is true is this is a team that can beat anybody. They just beat Memphis. They just beat Cleveland a couple of games ago. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they do anything that you're talking about, fall off the wagon or win seven of the last 10, win two games in the play-in and get into the playoffs. Like, anything is possible for this particular team. But I do disagree. Like, I do want them to get into the playoffs. Like, I'm not really – They get swept or whatever, but Jake, I mean,
is that really what you want, though? Is that like what you want? You hang your hat on? Oh, we made it into the playoffs. So then you keep this same front office and same coaching staff. Like, I love Doug. Don't get me wrong, and I do believe no matter what happens, Doug should stay. But are you really under the impression that, oh yeah, it's okay, we made it to the playoffs, we made our year goal? Like, is that your ceiling? Like, no, your ceiling is like competing in the playoffs, and you're not going to do that against the Thunder team that are going to get they're going to sweep you in the first four games.
Ceilings change, pal.
Yeah.
It's different now. Like, right. I know that wasn't our expectation entering the year, but when you start 13-18, you fire your head coach, you trade your star player, you move multiple pieces along the way, like, and expectations have to change a little bit.
And to that respect, if that is how we cover it, I don't ever want to hear anybody get mad at somebody for quitting. I don't ever want to hear nobody, because if you are saying like, oh, you don't want to do that, you want to compete for chance. If these guys quit tonight, I don't want to hear anybody disgusted about it. I want empathy for it all. Like, yeah, I could understand why you would quit. And we know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. If they quit tonight, they would be lit up mm-hmm. on every platform that we have in this city. So you can't say, oh, why are we even doing this? Because, like, it don't matter. You're going to lose. And then if Zach LaVine shoots four times, talking about how strange it is, or if DeRozan quits or somebody like that. Like, we can't have it both ways. If people say, why are we even doing this? You have no shot. Then accept that these guys might quit and be like, yeah, I understand why you quit. But nobody do that. Nobody would do that. They light them
up. I don't think Debo would be a guy that quits, though. I'll be honest with you. Debo's a guy that wants to win at the highest level, and that's why I feel bad for anybody on this team, it's DeMar DeRozan. This guy was brought in at the beginning of the season to help this team compete, and now he's trying to bring them to the playoffs. And I don't know if you've been watching his games lately, though. He looks tired and, like, mentally drained. Like, his shots are all short. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've been wanting to ask him, like, hey, is it a legs thing for him, or is he just, you know, is his follow-through not working out? Like, I don't know. But I don't disagree. Expectations can change throughout the season, but at the same time, you want higher expectations for a team, especially that wants to win at the highest level.
Well, and that's the other issue, Jake, is I don't know that this team is capable of winning at that high level. Like, no matter what happens over the next 10 days or maybe 2 weeks or not 10 days, 10 games, but over the next 3 or 4 weeks, man, this team will probably and probably should look drastically different when we return to this conversation next October.
You would hope, but you know who's in charge then? I think that starts.
Well, that's one of the things that might have to look different. Like, mm-hmm. one guy left for Utah. We'll see what happens with Monty, but
I'm not even talking with that. I'm talking with your ownership. I you know.
Well, I'm pretty sure he'll be the owner next year.
He's going to be the owner, but he, like, from my, everything I've heard, like, I understand that you own the team and you have to have a say, but sometimes, you know, you need to step back and realize maybe this isn't my like expertise of how of business. Like, maybe you could be a good business leader, a great, you know, businessman, but it doesn't mean you're going to be a good owner of an NBA team. Some of the best NBA teams, you know, the owners, you know, do make decisions at the end of the day. Don't get me wrong, but they make educated decisions and have the right people around them talking to them and listening to the right people, which I don't know if this ownership group has that right now.
Interesting.
I'm worried that there's going to be more poor decisions made over the next couple of weeks than what's going on right now.
What do you think of the decisions that Vivek Ranadive made?
Well, the way they went about firing Mike Brown, I'm not a very big proponent of. I'm not very happy about that, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big proponent of bringing in a guy like Zach LaVine and not knowing how that's going to affect the locker room and if that's going to be a good or bad thing. Not saying that it has affected the locker room, but I just don't think that they've looked at that in the totality part of it. I also don't like how they've dealt with the way they broke up with De'Aaron Fox. Like, don't get me wrong, every breakup's going to be messy, but don't think it was held in the most, you know, great, in the best way possible. And I really don't know what's going to happen with Domantas Sabonis and how they're dealing with this. Like, that's the next superstar that's on the block of, like, okay, you know, are you going to fumble the bag at this? And I don't know if they have I have confidence knowing that they're going to be able to deal with this or be able to rectify.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That situation with Sabonis and make him happy and give him a plan and an outlook that he can agree to and can see him moving forward. You know, guys like Keegan Murray are under contract still, of course, as a rookie. And that's, you know, that's another conversation probably more for this summer of what his future looks like within the team. But like, there's just questions, guys. And I'm not very, and I think that's the question that you have to ask yourself. Like, you know, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes that a lot of us aren't privy to, especially fans as well. And you don't know who's really having that voice in that room. And that's where the decision-making process that I don't feel confident in.
Yes, we do. Vlade. We know Vlade is pulling all of the strings. It's only a matter of time before they tell us publicly. Well, I'm a little bit more excited and a little bit more high on the Sacramento Kings to get the job done tonight. One thing Jake said that I think he's 100% right on, we've talked about this now for weeks, but I'll repeat it. It's a game-to-game situation. It's a night-to-night situation. You know, we had fun with how many games do the Kings have to win to make all this work. That's perfectly fine. Right now, the 1-0. The focus is to leave Thursday 1-0, beat the Portland Trail Blazers, and whatever you got to figure out as you head to Orlando and you hit the road and all that, figure it out then. Beat the Portland Trail Blazers tonight and start this final 10-game stretch on a positive note.
Yes.
I'm with you. Hey, can I give a shout out to one person on this team that was Sabonis? This dude is just, he's like his father, just playing through injury, playing through, toughening out, being the mark of a good soldier, as I would say. Like, he is just, you should see his ankle. Like, it's just, I sit there and I'm like, bro, I don't know if I could go through that. Like, you're just, you're tough tough, tough individually, more mental than physical, quite honestly. And I think Domas, he may not look like himself, especially in the OKC game where he just didn't play that well, but just know that that guy is doing everything he can and putting his body on the line to for his team and for this city.
Absolutely, man. That guy,
I won't question his toughness, but I'm going to ask him to shoot more.
Yeah.
He don't have his legs, though. He even told me that. He's like, I was like, you're short on your three-point shot. He's like, Jake, I've been off.
You don't have to shoot threes.
Okay.
I don't
disagree with you on that.
What was he the other night? 6 of 10?
6 of 10, 0 for 4 from three.
That's fine. Okay, that's fine. Look, you've been great from three this year. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You have a bag by the basket. Utilize it.
Mm-hmm. Look for that shot. Hell, you don't even have to step out to three. Like, you get that from 17 feet away, top of the key. They're not guarding you. Go ahead, pull that. But they need his aggressiveness on the offensive end, man. But to your point, I mean, the guy is tough as nails. You know, he's definitely tougher than a $2 steak. And, you know, we thought he was going to be out 10 to 14 days.
Yeah.
And here he is 5 days later.
Crazy.
Going out there, giving everything he has out there. So he absolutely deserves all the respect in the world for just for trying to get these guys – to the finish line, man.
Agreed. And then I think who comes along with him is going to be the big question mark over the next 2 weeks of who's going to step up, like, and solidify them spot. I think Keegan has a chance to really solidify himself as a future of this team over the next 2 weeks if he can perform like he did against the Thunder he did the other night. I think the opportunity is there for him. And they're playing well defensively. It's just on the offensive end. Just they look bad. Bad at sometimes. Bad.
Jake, big night for you guys over at CBS 13. Big stretch of programming coming up for you guys over the next couple of weeks over on CBS 13. Is there a storyline here in the Sweet 16 headed to the Elite Eight that you got your eye on a little bit?
I like right now what BYU is doing. I think that's an upset you can look at tonight over Alabama. That's something to keep an eye on. I like Texas Tech. I think their defense travels and the way that they have won, especially in those opening round games. The first round game, it was mainly by the three-point shot. Second round game was more by in and out, inside out. There's a kid on the Red Raiders, Darion Williams, that's actually a Capital Christian alum, or Capital Christian player, played there for his freshman year and then did the Jared McCain route and went down south for the final 3 years of his high school career. He's a kid that's from Sacramento. I would keep an eye on him. He plays for Tech. He's playing tonight. I want to see how well Cooper Flagg looks for Duke. Like, I've heard murmurs. Like that, you know, if Duke don't go all the way, he may come back. But if they do win this whole entire thing, like, I think he's going to be a solidified number one pick. But those are the storylines. I like Coach Cal. Like, you can just never – Calipari always doing his thing. Like, I love the coaching aspect of it, the way he brings in his guys and the way he coaches his guys. Extremely, extremely tough. I loved hard coaching when I was a kid. And I think that's something that I think we've kind of gone away from in this generation. But those are the main teams that I'm keeping an eye on right now that can really make some noise. Tomorrow night's going to be Houston. That's probably the one team that I can see coming out of. I think it's the Midwest bracket, mm-hmm. East bracket, I believe. No, Midwest bracket. So those are some of the storylines I'm keeping an eye on right now. Not a lot of upsets this year, guys. No Cinderella stories. Right, like
I'm perfectly
that's like
fine with that.
Everyone's been like, "Well, there's no Cinderella this year. That's there's okay. no upsets." It's like, well, maybe it shows you the best teams are the actual best teams this year. Simple as that.
I
was sad though. I was crying on Sunday that UConn lost.
Well, so
that's funny because I think you actually were shedding tears, and for some reason, that brings me a smidge bit of joy, but I don't know.
That damn Dan Hurley was at it again as they're walking off the court.
Hey,
just a whiny little something.
He's our psychopath, okay? He's our psychopath.
I think
okay?
you glossed over a really I think you glossed over a really compelling storyline that I didn't really like.
Michigan?
That's never been a thing. Well, it was back in the early 90s. No, you know, Casey and I were watching Cal and Patino the other day, and Coach Cal, like, looking at the Elite Eight, that's a pretty dope story to me. Like, Cal is he's special. Like, I mean, that's not breaking news. It's not a hot take. But, like, I just think him, you know, potentially winding up in the Elite Eight and, you know, beyond.
First year at Arkansas, too.
That's pretty special to me. That's a hell of a storyline.
The fact he's doing it again, because he's done it in every spot that he's done it at. You know, he's done it at Kentucky, you know, coming from the Northeast. He did it, you know, when he was, I think it was BU or Northeastern, one of the two. No, it was
UMass.
What's up? Oh, UMass. It is UMass. It was UMass. My bad. Because Patino was at Northeastern. And then you have, and Calhoun was up there as well. But no, he's an interesting character. Like, and the way he's been, changed his philosophy. Like, if you remember in the early, you know, early 2000s, even late 2000s, he was always known for getting the five-star guys, putting four freshmen on the court, three freshmen on the court. Like, look at the amount of guys he put in the league 1 year at Kentucky and then move on. And that you kind of can't do that now in the current NCAA just because of how the transfer portal works right now. But he's still doing it. Like, still has freshmen on the team, but he's also, you know, built it up with some veteran guys and realized, like, that you got to be able to have some 21, 22 year olds on your roster to compete with some of these older rosters like a BYU that have an older team that are probably more seasoned and more physical compared to just throwing 18 year olds out there and letting them hoop. He's done it in multiple different ways, and the fact that he's brought Arkansas out of all places, Fayetteville, to a basketball heaven, like, that's interesting as well, because Fayetteville is not known for its basketball. It's known for its football over there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's doing it now in Arkansas is pretty impressive. And, you know, it's not going to stop here, I can tell you that much. I think he's going to be competitive in the SEC moving forward year in and year out.
I agree. I have Duke playing in the national championship game, losing to Florida. So I think they're going to win tonight. But I think Arizona is going to give them everything they can handle. Caleb Love, he is familiar with going up against Duke. Caleb Love is a feast or famine type guy. So he could have a bad game. Like, he could, like, look wild out there. But he could look like he did against Oregon, where he was – the best player on the floor. I just got my eye out for Arizona tonight. Got my eye out for him to make it a competitive game.
I don't think it's going to be that competitive. I think Duke's going to roll over Arizona tonight. I have no confidence in the Wildcats. Zero whatsoever. They always fumble the bag, guys. Always fumble the bag. It's either a first-round exit or an Elite Eight exit. They have Well, when's the last time they were in the Final Four? I don't even know off the top of my head. I can tell you, it's been a minute. And they've had some good players roll through that program there. And they got that new guy, Pete from Arizona, from Perry, that committed to them this morning. So they got two 4-stars, one of them being the younger James and son and Bryce. And then you also have this, I think it's Kea Pete, like, they're good, don't get me wrong. I just, they've never been able to bring it all together.
Who's with you tonight?
Kenny Caraway. Oh.
Hey, can you guys quiet down in there? We're trying to do a show.
People, like, just have no idea that, you know, we're trying to do a show in here. I'm the most popular person at CBS 13, and it is just getting to a point where people don't realize when you close the door, don't come in. Oh my goodness! All right, like, it's just
Jake's gonna go out
like
there and turn some tables over. When that door is shut, y'all keep out of here.
Yeah, straight up though, we're on a night with the man Kenny Caraway making his only stop of March Madness this year. It's okay, we'll forgive him later.
No, man, my mistake.
It's all good, my guy. It's all my good. Hey, we're gonna have great ratings though tonight coming on. After, I believe, that Duke-Arizona game, I still think it's going to be, like you said, it's going to be a good matchup, but I don't think Arizona's won this. I think it's going to be Duke, but on from 9 to 10 o'clock tonight, Coach Katz tomorrow is back in action, and then we'll have our final sports extra before Final Four National Championship on Sunday to wrap it all up. So, you know, it's been fun, man. Like, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with March Madness in terms of it. Just it always delivers. There's never it never doesn't ever not deliver. And just doing it once again this year. Unfortunately, you know, like we said, no massive upsets. There's no. I will say this though, Kenny, you're a year late on McNeese State. Okay, you predicted it. You know,
I was thinking about the future when I made that.
Oh, is that what then you called Will Wade and said, "Hey, figure this thing out for next year, please." Made me look like a dumbass. Is that what's going on? Just real quick.
You know, I was projecting. That's what I was projecting.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, can you – one more thing about March Madness that I want to – I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Mm-hmm. The amount of guys that have transferred to these big-time programs that came from smaller schools like mid-majors. Like, did you guys see that list on Twitter at all?
I hadn't seen it, no. Mm-hmm.
So I'll send it to you tonight. It's really interesting. The amount of players that are in the Sweet 16 this year that played on mid-major programs last year, it's like half of them. Like – Or if they didn't play in a mid-major, they played on a Power 5 but didn't get minutes last year and are actually getting minutes within one of these programs this year. It's wild what's happening in college football, or college basketball, how, you know, these big Power 5 schools with all this NIL money are plucking kids from a mid-major program that was a star there, having them be a role player, and now, you know, the team is ridiculously good and doing their thing in the Sweet 16. It's just
it's
NCAA, transfer portal, it's crazy.
It's the new JUCO. You know what I'm saying? Just the mid-majors in the new JUCO. You got a guy like, what's my man at Florida? Clayton. I think he was
Clayton Jr.
He was in
the UConn killer. Played Iona under Pitino.
Yeah.
Full circle moment for him, okay? Yeah, first time UConn won in that 13-game streak was against Iona and Clayton Jr., and then the last one, when the streak ended, it was against Clayton Jr.
He got his get back. So. But to your point, that's a guy that was a mid-major guy who – you know, elevated to another program. I can't wait for the reverse when the Power 5 guys start coming to Sac State. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I love the Bibby hire. I hope they have the money. I hope they have some money there for
them. They got money.
They see a big donor. They got major money.
They got money. They'll be all right.
All right.
Jake, we appreciate you as always, man. We'll be tapped in tonight. Thank you, my brother.
Appreciate you guys. See you on Sports Sunday this Sunday.